Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 6, The Demigods and Demons Declare a Truce, Text 39. Avaropya Girim Skandat Suparna Patatam Varaha Yayo Jalanta Utsrija Harina Sa Visarjitaha Avaropya Girim Skandat Suparna Patatam Varaha Yaya Jalanta Utsrija Harina Sa Visarjitaha Avaropya Girim Skandat Suparna Patatam Varaha Yayao Jalanta Utsvijya Harina Sa Visarjitaha Avaropya Girim Skandat Suparna Patatam Varaha Yayao Jalanta Utsvijya Harina Sa Visarjita. Avaropya Girim Skanda Suparna Patatam Varaha Jalanta Utsrija Harina Sa Visarjita. Avaropya Girim Skandat Suparna Patatam Varaha Vajalanti Utsrija Sarsasarjita Avaropya Girim Skandat Suparna Patatam Varaha Jalanta Utsrija Inasa Visarjita Avaropya Girim Skandat Suparna Patatam Varaha Yaya Jalanta Utsrija Vaishnavis Avaropya Girim Skandat Suparna Patatam Varaha Yayao Jalanta Utsrija Arasa Visarjita Avaropya Girim Skandat Suparna Patatam Varaha Avaropya Unloading Girim The Mountain Skandat, from his shoulder. Suparnaha, Garuda. Patatam, of all the birds. Varaha, the biggest or most powerful. Yayo, went. Jala Ante, where the water is. Utsrajya, placing. Harina, by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Saha, he. Garuda. Visarjitaha, discharge from that place. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Thereafter, Garuda, the chief of birds, unloaded Mandara Mountain from his shoulder and brought it near the water. Then he was asked by the Lord to leave that place, and he left. Please repeat. Thereafter, Garuda, the chief of birds, unloaded Mandara Mountain from his shoulder and brought it near the water. Then he was asked by the Lord to leave that place, and he left. Purport. Garuda was asked by the Lord to leave that place because the snake Vasuki, who was to be used as the rope for churning, could not go there in the presence of Garuda. Garuda, the carrier of Lord Vishnu, is not a vegetarian or a vegan. He eats big snakes. Vasuki, being a great snake, would be natural food for Garuda, the chief of birds. Lord Vishnu therefore asked Garuda to leave so that Vasuki could be brought to churn the ocean with Mandara Mountain, which was to be used as the churning rod. These are the wonderful arrangements of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nothing takes place by accident. Carrying Mandara Mountain on the back of a bird and putting it in the right position might be difficult for anyone, whether demigod or demon, but for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, everything is possible, as shown by this pastime. The Lord had no difficulty lifting the mountain with one hand, and Garuda, his carrier, carried all the demons and demigods together by the grace of the Supreme Lord. The Lord is known as Yogeshwara, the master of all mystic power, because of his omnipotence. If he likes, he can make anything lighter than cotton or heavier than the universe. Those who do not believe in the activities of the Lord cannot explain how things happen. Using words like accident, they take shelter of ideas that are unbelievable. Nothing is accidental. Everything is done by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as the Lord Himself confirms in Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 9, Text 10, Maya Jakshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam. Whatever actions and reactions occur within the cosmic manifestation all take place under the superintendence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. However, because the demons do not understand the potency of the Lord when wonderful things are done, the demons think that they are accidental. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 8th canto, 6th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Demigods and Demons Declare a Truce. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So, in the purport, you know, Srila Prabhupada mentions Garuda is not a vegetarian and the snakes are a little afraid of him because they are his natural food. And this comes up in a lot of different situations in the Srimad Bhagavatam and the other Vedic literatures, this antagonism between Garuda and the great serpents or snakes. You know, for example, it comes up in the pastime of Kaliya, who is a many-headed, large serpent that Krishna dealt with in Vrindavan. But originally, the home of Kaliya was a place called Nagalaya, or sometimes it was called Ramanaka Island. It's a place of great serpents. And Garuda would sometimes go there to feed. And this caused a lot of anxiety among the great serpents that were there because this huge carnivorous bird-like creature, Garuda, which is kind of half human, half bird-like, would come and just start eating, killing and eating the serpents there. So the serpents got together and they made an agreement with Garuda that, you know, he not just randomly come and attack and kill and eat so many serpents, but that they made an agreement that they would make a sacrifice every month where they would offer him one serpent, you know, that he could take. But the Kaliya serpent would take this offering himself and eat it. So this made Garuda a little bit angry. So he attacked Kaliya, and to escape the attack of Garuda, Kaliya ran away. And he went to a specific place, to a lake in the Yamuna River, little part of the Yamuna River in Vrindavan. And the reason he went there is because Garuda was forbidden to go to that place. A long time before, there had been a sage named Salbari Muni who had been living within the water at that place. And Garuda had come there to get fish to eat. He ate not only snakes, but also fish. So Salbari Muni was trying to protect the fish. And he forbade Garuda to come and take the fish, but Garuda came and took them anyways. So the sage Salbari Muni cursed him that if you ever come back to this place, you will die. So Garuda, to respect the curse of the sage, wouldn't come to that place. So Kaliya thought, I can go there. So he did. And he he had a very poisonous effect on the surrounding trees and things like that. So they all died except for one Kadamba tree, which actually Srila Prabhupada says Garuda had treated with some nectar so that it would remain unaffected. And then there's a whole pastime of Lord Krishna going to confront this Kaliya serpent who's causing a big disturbance in Vrindavan, you know, by spreading his poisonous fumes and causing danger to the living entities in Vrindavan. So little child Krishna went, jumped into the Jamuna River to confront this five-headed, massive serpent. And he began to dance on the serpent's heads. And that way he playfully brought, you know, the serpent under control. The serpent tried to push him off, kill him, but couldn't do it. Krishna just kept dancing on his heads, and finally he had to surrender. And then Krishna told him to go back to Nagalaya or Ramanaka Island, and he said, Garuda won't bother you anymore because now your heads are marked with my footprints. And seeing that, Garuda will leave you alone. So he went back to that place. And some people say that this place has some connection with Fiji. Actually, the natives in Fiji have some legend that in some lake up in the mountains there's some multi-headed serpent, you know, that was staying there. So Srila Prabhupada caused a Krishna Kaliya temple to be built in Fiji. It's actually, you know, he specifically said, you know, they should make a deity of Krishna Kaliya, Krishna dancing on the head of the Kaliya serpent. So, yeah, that was done. Srila Prabhupada was actually present for the laying of the foundation stone of that temple. And then later, in 1977, the deity was installed. But it's just another example of this antagonism between Garuda, who eats snakes, and the great serpents that are mentioned in the Puranas and the other Vedic literatures. This also comes up in the Ramayana. Of course, we know there was a big battle between the incarnation of Krishna, the avatar of Krishna, Lord Ram, and the demon Ravana, who had kidnapped Sita, the wife of Lord Ram. So to retrieve her, there was a big battle. Lord Ramachandra and his brother Lakshman had gone to the southern part of India, and, you know, they recruited an army of monkey soldiers, you know, led by Sugriva and Hanuman. They were members of the Vanara race. And they attacked the army of Ravana on his island of Lanka. And sometimes, yeah, we see plays in our temples, and we get a very simplified version of the battle between Lord Ramachandra and Ravana and his army. It's actually quite an If you look at the Ramayana, it's actually quite a detailed, intricate battle with lots of different things happening in it. And if you're going to have a battle, it's not good if it's very one-sided, from the entertainment point of view. If one person is just so powerful, he just immediately wipes out the other side, it's not very entertaining. If there has to be some struggle and some back and forth, and you wonder, are the demons going to win, or is Lord Ramachandra and his side going to win? It becomes a little more interesting. So there was one episode in the battle where Indrajit, the son of one of the sons of Ravana, attacked Lord Ramachandra and Lakshman with some special weapons. He had made an alliance with the great serpents who had agreed to become his weapons, and he made them like arrows. And he shot these serpent weapons at Ramachandra and Lakshman, hundreds of them, thousands of them, and he did it from some invisible position where he couldn't be seen. So Rama and Lakshman were inundated by these magical serpent weapons, and these things happen in the pastimes of the Lord. Just because he's making, they're called lila, pastimes. So sometimes to make it dramatic, he apparently is in danger. So apparently in this battle, they were overwhelmed by these serpent weapons. They were fired by Indrajit. They had wrapped them, these magical serpents had wrapped themselves around the bodies of Ram and Lakshman. And apparently, it appeared momentarily, at least, under the influence of Yoga Maya, that they had been killed. they were just lying lifeless on the ground, covered by these weapons. So the monkey soldiers were very distraught. But then they noticed, actually, that they were still breathing and that their bodily luster hadn't faded. So they could tell that they were actually still alive, but they were under the influence of these weapons. So at that point, Garuda appears. He comes flying down from wherever he was watching, and when he appeared on the scene, then these serpent weapons, being afraid of Garuda, just unwrapped themselves from around Ram and Lakshman and fled. So they got up and they resumed the battle. As I said, it's a very intricate battle. A lot of things went on. Another thing that happened is later Ravana himself attacked Ram with a different kind of serpent weapon. He began firing from his bow these serpent weapons, hundreds and thousands of them, and they began rushing towards Ram, like with open mouths, breathing fire, to attack him again. And then Ram, to counter these serpent weapons, he manifested a weapon controlled by Garuda. So he began firing thousands of his arrows that in midair turned into golden, vicious eagles that attacked, you know, the serpent weapon. So it's this, again, it's this antagonism between Garuda and the serpents. And, of course, the Garuda weapon won out over the serpent weapon. And, of course, in the end, Lord Ram triumphed over Ravana and recovered Sita. But Garuda actually played a role in that big battle. So, you know, Srila Prabhupada mentions that Garuda, he's not a vegetarian, but he's a devotee. Now, nobody should misunderstand what I'm going to say next, but there was in 1974, Srila Prabhupada was here in Los Angeles on a morning walk, and this topic came up, and he said, Garuda is not a vegetarian, but he's a devotee. And he said, if some devotee came, it was actually as much of a devotee as Garuda is, so surrendered and dedicated, and somehow couldn't give up eating meat, then we might accept. One of those shocking statements that Srila Prabhupada sometimes makes. But the qualification is who can be on the same level as Garuda, the personal carrier of Lord Vishnu. And actually, of course, we have Garuda here. Actually, the devotees proposed to Srila Prabhupada that there be Garuda in the temple, and he gave his permission. So, so Srila Prabhupada mentioned that, you know, the various carnivorous birds are, you know, descendants of Garuda. Like the devotees mentioned that the national bird of, you know, the United States, eagle, it's a carnivorous bird. Srila Prabhupada said, yes, it's coming from Garuda. He's not a vegetarian either. So that's one point mentioned in the purport here. And the other thing that, you know, Srila Prabhupada stresses in the purport is that nothing happens by accident. You know, when, you know, the materialistic scientists and philosophers look at the world and they see so many things, so many wonderful things, they don't want to admit that God has anything to do with it. You know, they think that real science means that you must eliminate God from the picture somehow and explain everything in terms of matter combining on its own. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna describes this kind of philosophy, asatyam apratishtam te jagat ahur anishvaram. There's a certain type of philosopher who thinks there is no God in control. There's no need to think that there's any God in control. It's all just matter. Everything's combining in its own way by chance. And that's why we have everything that we observe around us. And as Srila Prabhupada says here, these people, these so-called scientists and philosophers, they take shelter of ideas that are unbelievable. It's like, you know, they try to explain the complex forms of living things that we see around us. We see so many varieties of living things which are extremely complex. And how do they come about? Well, you know, they propose somehow or other, in the beginning, there was no life. There were just chemicals floating around the ocean. Somehow or other, they combined together, and they formed some first single-celled living thing. And then what happened? Somehow or other, they say, those one-cell living things started sticking together and forming multi-celled creatures. And then somehow or other, by random genetic mutations acted upon by natural selection, these multi-celled creatures, which were very simple at first, started getting more and more complex until finally you get human beings with consciousness. And where did consciousness come from? From chemicals combining in the brain. You know, they have ideas like this. And they're unbelievable. They are literally unbelievable. And that's what Srila Prabhupada is talking about here in the purport when he says that. It's interesting that, you know, recently there was a book published by an atheist. It's an atheist philosopher named Thomas Nagel. He's a professor of philosophy, a very prominent professor of philosophy at a big university here in the United States. And he caused a big stir in the academic world by publishing a book called Mind and Cosmos. And the subtitle of the book is Why the Neo-Darwinian Materialist View of the World is Most Probably False. And he said, and he's an atheist, and he's saying, no scientist has really explained how you get chemicals to combine to form the first living thing. He says, no scientist has explained how once you have the first living thing, just by random genetic mutations, you can get complex living things like human beings just by that process. And he said, no scientist has ever shown how by combining chemicals in the brain, you can get consciousness. And this is an atheist saying this. And it's actually true. So, I mean, his solution was to propose, he said, well, one way to get around this is to propose there's God who did it. He said, but I don't like that idea. So, and you know, he said you can propose there's God and there's souls and things like that. He just decided to say something else, which is pretty much unbelievable, namely that consciousness is a property of matter, and matter has a tendency to organize itself more and more complex ways. Again, unbelievable. But it's just actually what the Vedic literature proposes, that there is a supreme, intelligent, conscious being who is capable of organizing matter, as Srila Prabhupada quoted in the verse here from Bhagavad Gita, Mayadhyakshena Prakriti. I am in control of matter, Krishna says, and I am making all things, moving and unmoving. And then as far as consciousness goes, Krishna says, Mamaivam so jiva loke, jiva bhuta sanatana. There are eternal spirit souls that he places in machines made of matter, you know, the bodies. And that really explains it all. So, you know, sometimes these materialistic scientists, you know, they keep trying to take shelter of chance. So they say, okay, we can't, if we just have one universe, then it's very difficult to explain how the chemicals could have combined together by chance, you know, to form some first living thing. That's very unlikely. But now they're proposing, well, there are millions and millions of universes, and once you add all those millions and millions of universes, that increases the likelihood that somehow or other, you know, in at least one of the universes, the one we live in, you'll get the chance explanation to work somehow. But actually, we know from the Vedic literature, there are, in fact, millions and millions of universes, and there's life in all of them. In other words, for their idea to work, they'd have to show, first of all, that these millions and millions of universes really exist, and in that, in all of them except this universe, there's no life. Of course, with their, you know, they can't even see any of these other universes, but we know about the, we can see them because we're Shastra Chakshush. We see through the eyes of Shastra. And we know, yes, there are millions and millions of universes, and in all of them, life is there. Again, why? Because Krishna is there. He's designed all these universes. He's designed all the bodies of living things in them. And he's placed spirit souls in all of these universes. And that's where consciousness comes from. And the perfection of consciousness is Krishna consciousness, which we are trying to develop. So I'll stop there. Does anybody have any question or comment? Brahma Mahurta Prabhu. Yeah, you're on TV.
Hare Krishna. World. I met somebody in the airplane yesterday, and we talked exactly about this issue with the, you know, with evolution and the primordial soup event. And the man told me that he has heard that Darwin himself, at the end of his life, has declared that his theory is wrong. He did not stand by it. Have you heard about that?
I've heard reports like that. There's not at this moment any good documentation of that, but it is something that I've heard. But even in his own books, you know, Darwin admits there's some role for God. And he admits his idea is just one idea. He, in his book, Origin of Species, he admits, I used to be a creationist, as most of the leading scientists of his day were. They believed that God had something to do with the creation of the universe and the manifestation of the bodies of living things in it. And he said, now I'm going to try to propose a different idea, which kind of caught on because it's Kali Yuga and the trend of the age is to try to get rid of God and reduce everything to matter. So, but Darwin also said to the people who read his book, he wrote in it, that you should consider all the alternatives, the evidence both for and against my theory, and make up your mind about it, which is quite different from what his modern supporters are saying. They're saying, this is the, you know, the Darwinian theory of evolution is the absolute truth. Nothing else can be taught. Nothing else can be considered. And, you know, Srila Prabhupada was very much opposed to that. Therefore, you know, he wanted his intellectually trained disciples to challenge the, you know, Darwinian theory of evolution. So, thanks for that observation. Anything else? Srila Prabhupada Ki?
I have one more question.
Oh, okay.
Are you in a hurry?
No, but we have a schedule.
Oh,
I try to observe, but I think we can take one or two more questions. Yeah.
I'm studying the BBC's, the British Broadcasting Corporation's massive propaganda attack on the world, especially the youth of the world, by their fantastically produced documentaries. One of the latest ones is called The Wonders of Life. A young, beautiful, smart Scottish professor of, I don't know, something, science, explains at one point, you see there's a pond and there are dragonflies flying around him. And he makes this bold statement, this dragonfly, we can explain everything about it. We know how this works. We know how the energy is exchanged and how all this functions. There is, and now I'm quoting, there is no need for a magical spark. Right? So every time I see, and this is just one incident, I could cite hundreds of those heavy statements by the BBC geared towards the youth of the world, the heavily syndicated programs. Should we, the Hare Krishna movement, or how could the Hare Krishna movement come out with documentaries or responses to that massive propaganda by the BBC? Has this ever been attempted or discussed, or do you think it's a good idea to do things like that?
Yes, it's a good idea to do them, but it requires organization, money, personnel, and determination all in one place. Now, it may be possible that, you know, the Temple of Vedic Planetarium construction could be a catalyst for something like that, because one whole section of that huge building is being devoted to a planetarium theater, which will require presentations, very high quality, technologically sophisticated visual movies. So there will be a need to have a production team that will produce those things, and that it's all kind of in the planning stages now, but that may be, you know, the best opportunity for something like that. And there will also be exhibits of all different kinds, and some of it will be related to cosmology and astronomy, but also part of the universe is the life in the universe and how it came to be. So, yeah, there may be some opportunities there, but it will depend on there being intelligent people who have thought about these things, being able to give direction and guidance for those, and then, you know, people capable of manifesting these things in terms of the technologies and systems that are available today. So there's some hope. But you know, I think the brains of the society have to be more focused on this than they are now.
Of our ISKCON
society. Yes, of our ISKCON society.
Is this something that's within the scope of Bhaktivedanta Institute?
ideally it should be, but yeah, there are many things about our society that should ideally be there, but which in practice are not really there at the present moment. So that's as much as I can say about it now. But as I say, the temple of the Vedic planetarium effort may be the vehicle that would be able to manifest some of these things. Okay, Parameshwar Prabhu, and then we'll...
I was getting some skin cancer cut out the other day, and the doctor... one of the doctors there had takes his millions of dollars, and he goes, he's Christian, and he fights atheists in courts throughout the country, and goes to these committees and things, and he's not alone. And I was just wondering, does it behoove the Hare Krishnas who are possibly thinking about being in charge of this kind of activity to couple up with them, at least provide them with information? Or this, would that be something intelligent to do to help expedite what Prabhu here has in mind and many others, I'm sure, as well?
Yes, and to some extent that has already happened. The BBT published a couple of years ago on the anniversary of Darwin's birth and the publication of Origin of Species, a book called Rethinking Darwin, which had material contributed by some of the people that you're talking about. So there have been cooperative efforts already. It could be more. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.